Broadcasting live from the Business Radio X studios in Atlanta, Georgia, it's time for High Velocity Radio.
Lee Cantor here with Katie Galley, another episode of High Velocity Radio, but this is my very favorite episodes. These are the Thought Leader Radio episodes where we interview the best and the brightest from all over the planet. Katie.
Yes.
Somebody from your neck of the woods,
right.
The Northeast.
Though apparently I tricked her.
You tricked her with your thick Southern accent.
Yeah, it just comes out, I guess.
Well, I'm excited to learn more about how that happened so quickly.
Yes, I am too.
Well, today we got Jane Latz, and she is an executive communications coach, and she's with Corporate Speech Solutions out of New York. Welcome, Jane.
Thank you. Thank you for having me.
Well, Jane, can you, before we get too far into things, can you talk about Corporate Speech Solutions? How are you serving folks?
How am I serving folks?
See, that was Southern. I was trying to be Southern. Did it work?
We love to serve folks. So Corporate Speech Solutions was created in 2006. Hard to believe it was over 12 years ago already. My background is in speech-language pathology, and my brand is that everyone on my team are speech-language pathologists. We take our skills, and we work with business professionals, like every single person listening in the audience. You know, as speech pathologists, we have a great tool chest, and we are able to help build public speaking and presentation skills. We are able, as we were just discussing, to work on modifying accents, foreign and regional. Yes, audience, I have a New York accent, and that's why I have a great team of very neutral-sounding speech pathologists. They do the accent reduction for the regional accents. We also do a great deal of business communication skills. So people who mumble, speak too quickly, swallow their words, are petrified of presenting in front of others. We can help all of that. You know, I like to say we build clarity, we build confidence, we build careers. But one of the best things about being a speech pathologist, doing the work that we do, is that there are many, many business professionals that have issues that may or may not have been addressed as kids, but are still unresolved, whether it's a stutter, whether it's a lisp, whether it's an articulation error, which might just be a sound like an L or an R. And now they're in business, and these issues are interfering with spoken clarity. We also can address executive function issues, as well as issues related to ADD or ADHD, which is attention deficit disorder or attention deficit hyperactivity disorder. So I know that might be a longer answer, but because we're a team of speech-language pathologists, how we can help build communication skills for business professionals really runs a great gamut of skills, techniques, and different varieties.
Now, what was the path to having a company that, you know, was kind of taking your speech pathology background and the people you know in that world and saying, hey, you know what, we can aim this at business people rather than the traditional, you know, you're going to work in an elementary school or, you know, you're going to work in in that kind of a field. Where do you see the opportunity in business? How'd that come about?
I'm smiling ear to ear because it's really a nice story. You know, I was raised in a business family. My dad had his own business. So I always wanted to be in business, but I come from a generation where, you know, every dinner table discussion, my dad would talk about, we are only two girls, be a teacher, be a teacher. My sister became a teacher. I was a little younger by the time I went to school, specialize in something. So I became a speech pathologist, and I worked in healthcare for many years, skilled nursing facilities, rehab centers, working with stroke patients, Alzheimer's, head trauma, you name it, any neurological insult, and I worked with that. And around the time of, you know, 2005, 6, 7, no surprise, healthcare was changing. And I went to a conference. Our governing body is called ASHA, the American Speech and Hearing Association. And one day I went to the conference, and they had a booth of corporate speech-language pathologists. Now, I talked about my dad. I talked about speech pathology. What I didn't say is in between all the years of being a speech pathologist, I always had this desire to go into business. And I did dabble in between, not worth taking up the time, but the point is I always wanted to be more involved in business. The day I went to that booth, changed my life. I knew from that minute on I wanted to pursue this field of corporate speech pathology, because unlike so many people that have to change careers later in life, they become a coach for this or that, it meant I could keep all those years of skills, techniques, and experience and now apply it into the business world. But one thing I really want to make clearly to your listeners is that although, you know, we're corporate speech-language pathologists, I use the term executive communication coach because you don't have to have a pathology for us to work with you. You could be a very strong business professional that just wants to work on improving your business communication skills. We're meeting today with a prominent person in a brand that everyone on this call knows because he has an upcoming presentation and he needs some extra techniques to build his presence on the stage. And that's why we're going in. So you do not have to have any pathology to work with a corporate speech pathologist. It just identifies us as having such an advanced skill set of techniques.
And then, but that background helps kind of in some of the nuance of public speaking?
Oh, my God. It's amazing. It's amazing what we see and what we hear that others don't realize. You know, I had a COO come in a couple of weeks ago. She had a very particular issue that she wanted to address. And we did our assessment, which is a very dynamic assessment. And then we do a 10-point assessment, and you score yourself 1 to 5. And she, because I did a videotape, we played it back. Together, she gave herself somewhere between a 1 to maybe a 2.5. It was a 1 to 5 rating scale on all of those 10 points, when in fact she came in with only one concern.
Wow. So now, is that her own insecurity, or was that really an accurate assessment?
No, they were there. They were there. The point that she came in with, which we can discuss in a few minutes, was glaring. And let's just say it was a stutter, which it's not. So people sometimes might come in with a stutter, but if they're working on presentation skills, because everything in business today is, you know, about public speaking and presentation skills, well, then are you looking at your audience? Are you engaging your listener? You know, what is your posture saying? Do you have a strong, dynamic voice? So while you may have that stutter or a lisp, there's a whole host of other areas that need to be addressed if you want to be a, you know, if you want to have executive presence. Let's use that very, you know, popular term.
Right. So now, how do you define executive presence?
An air of confidence that's exuded, how you stand, how you present yourself. I had someone send me a video last week. Again, a different person. He has a really important book signing coming up, and he's working on his presentation. He asked me to review his video, and you know, he's a pretty high-level person. And I said to him, you were moving all over the place. You weren't really looking at the listener. So those are some of the things. I like to say, own your space. You know, don't rock whether you're talking to someone. Don't fidget. You know, really have a confident pose.
Well, that's when you're in public. Is the same rules apply like if you're doing a webinar?
Absolutely, because even if they can't see you, it's about your voice. Number one, it's about having a confident voice, not a tentative voice. So a few things that will take away from a confident voice on a webinar or even on an interview such as this. Number one, if someone has a soft voice, there's a book called The Exceptional Presenter by Timothy Cagle. He says that people with strong, powerful voices are perceived as having greater self-confidence as people with softer voices. I also hear complaints from many, many females that they'll say something in a meeting and no one pays attention, and then a male colleague says the same thing, and everyone thinks it's the greatest idea because it's how you say something. There's research that says that how you say something matters twice as much as what you are actually saying. So going back to your question about the webinar, or again, a radio show or anything, it's the strong, confident voice. It's making sure you don't have a monotone voice, but you can engage your listener. Here are some vocal behaviors, Lee, that have become epidemic that will absolutely take away from executive presence and confidence, even when you're not being seen. You ready for those?
I'm ready. I'm writing these down.
Oh, they're huge. One, the use of filler words. The filler words are the like, you know, so, basically. I'm often asked, well, is the word well a filler word? My definition, and I have two great definitions to share. My definition is any word that does not add content to your message is a filler word. So if you can cut that out of the sentence, it doesn't need to be there. My other really important share with your audience is we have a barometer not to use greater than two filler words in 2 minutes.
And then how do you teach that with like a shock collar? Like what's the best way to teach that?
Yes, you could do that. But number one, the best first step is to record yourself. I cannot tell you how many people are shocked when they hear how many filler words they are using. My highest number so far was I had a caller once who left me a voicemail. It was a 46-second voicemail, and he used the word 20 times. So what does that do? That totally takes away from the message. So if someone's presenting or speaking in business and they use too many, people often will focus on that filler word, not on the impact of the message. So the first step is to record yourself and be shocked.
Let me tell you a funny story about that. When I first started this business over 10 years ago, one of the first interviews I had was someone who asked me to remove the ums at their interview.
Okay.
And so I didn't know any better. We had just started. So I'm like, sure, no problem. It was like hundreds of ums. Hundreds. And I'm like, yeah, then we're not doing this again. This is now, from now on, this is Saturday Night Live. The interview is the interview. There's no way I'm going back. And now there's technology.
Right.
You can remove ums easier, just automated wise. But back in the day, I had to physically cut out each and then splice it together and stuff. But people don't realize how often that they use those filler words until you record it and listen to it.
They do not. That's a great story, Lee. I might have to share that with clients. I had someone call me many years ago, a prominent name. He was selling his company, and there was going to be overlap. And the CEO of the company that was buying his company had such excessive filler words, he couldn't stand doing the negotiations and the business with him. And he called me up several times. He said, we've got to get rid of these filler words. So I think you and I both, Lee, agree that greater than two in 2 minutes can definitely take away from the message. And I call it epidemic. I really do, because they're growing. They're not decreasing. But the good news is they are easy to get rid of. They are. I love when someone comes in with a lot of them, because just a short time later, I have this one client who came in a couple of months ago. He had many filler words. I can't remember how many right now. And after just about three or four sessions, I referred back to the assessment sheet, and I looked at him with a smile, and I said, did you really have excessive filler words when we first met? He had worked so hard that they really were almost non-existent by about the fourth session. So that's a really great example of how successful working to remove them can be. So the first step, as I said, was to just recognize that you're doing them. The second is to notice your pattern. There are three common patterns I'll address. One is you use the before you even get started. How often, listen to people, Leon, I'm sure you will, when people say, my name is. I joke when I do presentations and trainings. I say, really? You should be able to be woken up at 6 o'clock in the morning and ask what your name is and be able to pop up and say, I'm Jane Lass. Why do you need a filler word? But some people, it's a crutch before every sentence. That's one pattern. The other pattern is the minute someone pauses to think, instead of the pause, they throw in the filler, and it becomes so predictable. You almost know exactly when the or the will come out. The third common pattern is what I call the variety pack, where someone doesn't just use or they'll use anything that they could grab, like, you know, et cetera. So that's the variety pack. So that step is to acknowledge what your pattern is. And the third step is where the magic begins. You will start to increase your awareness and anticipate that you're going to say a filler word. Now, once you start working on this, this is what happens. I just said one. And whenever a client says that, I smile and I say, terrific. That's the first step. We need to acknowledge we have the issue before we can change it. The fact that you are now hearing it and you didn't hear it a week ago is progress. You know, I always compare it to standing up and saying, you know, I am an alcoholic and now I can make those changes. I have to lose 30 pounds. Now I can make those changes. So that's the third step, beginning to anticipate when you're going to use the filler word. And then fourth is the beauty, which is the pause.
So you don't hide from the pause, and that's what people are doing. They're hiding from the pause by just filling up the space.
People are very uncomfortable with the pause. The good thing is we do a lot of work on what's called the strategic pause, teaching people to embrace the pause. Think about, I always say, think about, no politics here at all, I promise, Lee, but think about what, 9 years ago, a senator named Barack Obama, who so magnificently used the pause. And I tell people in all my training, that use of pauses got him into the White House. So if anyone's thinking they shouldn't pause with silence, think about what that delivery did for a senator named Barack Obama. It's magical. And if someone practices using that pause, then it helps with getting rid of the filler words because it increases the comfort with the silence.
Can you share what it's like being in a session with you? What is, you know, when they come and sit down with you, what is a session? What happens?
Well, no two sessions are alike, obviously. You know, when people call me, I always say we're one of those few businesses, maybe yours, Lee, and mine, where it's not a digital platform anymore, and it's not one size fits all. You know, in today's world, everything is an app or a digital platform. You know, there are schools out there that, you know, you sign up, let's say it's public speaking, it's all done online. I don't necessarily get that, because who's giving you the feedback? But We are very, very unique and custom designed. So I will tell you about how we get started with each person. Each person, the first step is a free telephone consultation. Step is an evaluation, a comprehensive evaluation. And we have two different ones, one for the individual that's interested in accent reduction, whether it is foreign or regional, and the other is for the individual that is interested in improving business communication skills or public speaking. So those are two very different assessments. From those assessments, we set the goals for the individual. So you can clearly see how that would make everyone uniquely different. So even if two people come together, they want, let's say, accent reduction together, and let's even say their native language is the same language, they're going to have different speech patterns, some similarities, but some differences. So then we custom design a syllabus to prepare for the training.
And then the length of the training would vary depending on what their need was.
Exactly. We do promote and encourage packages. A lot of people say, well, how much is a session? And I say, if you just want one or two sessions to work on reducing your accent, then save your money, because we can't change behaviors that fast. You know, if you have a strong accent. If you have a strong accent, you need the time to learn the techniques, to practice the techniques, and, you know, continue on. So we do have shorter and longer packages, but most people understand the importance of a package so that we can really achieve goals. All of our training has post-tests at the end so that we are held accountable to provide the success that we want them to have.
Are you ever asked to help, like, an actor with an accent? Like, I want a British accent. Does it work backwards?
There are companies. I actually was just talking about this person over the weekend. There was someone pretty prominent in the field here in New York who used to work specifically with actors. And sadly, in the 50s, his age of 50s, not in the 50s, he died tragically, very sad, because he really was the dialect coach to the stars. We don't usually work with that, because that's very different training. That's very specific to the script. Two of my speech pathologists have backgrounds in acting, so they absolutely are equipped with the full skill set to do that. But most of our audience and most of our clients are business professionals, you know, running the gamut from finance to marketing, IT, you know, the whole gamut, but most of them are the business professionals, you know, really looking to, you know, build their business success through building their clarity and their confidence.
And you help with things like, if I'm talking too fast or I'm talking too slow, you can help modify those behaviors as well?
Absolutely. Many, many people speak too quickly. You know, the important thing is, I do want to share, Lee, with you and your audience, a lot of people don't think they can change the way they speak. You know, I forgot what the issue was last week, but someone said, oh, you can't change that, can you? And there was an article a couple of years ago in the Wall Street Journal. It was called, Is This How You Really Talk? And I was lucky enough to be featured in that article. I received calls for, I think it was 3 weeks, maybe even more, from not just New York, not just the United States, but as far as Hong Kong, where I got a client who was with us for a long time. And people, there was almost pain in their voice. They didn't realize they could change the way they talk. And again, Lee, this brings me back to being a speech pathologist. That is what we are skilled to do. We can change behaviors when it comes to communication. So whether it's speaking too quickly, speaking too slowly, speaking softly, having a strong accent, some of the epidemics I was talking about before were the filler words. There's a few more. And they're epidemics, Lee. They are hurting people in business. One of them is that upspeak, where people tend to rise, have a rising intonation at the end of their sentence rather than making the declarative statement. So, for example, if I tell you, it's a pleasure to be on your show today, people with upspeak would say, it's a pleasure to be on your show today. And it takes away from how confident they sound. Again, going back to executive presence. So that's called upspeak. Another epidemic, as I talked about earlier, was the filler words, were the filler words. And another one is, oh my gosh, this is such a growing epidemic, vocal fry. We have four registers for speaking. You and I and most people speak in the modal register. Vocal fry is when they go down to the lowest register and their voice sounds creaky and it's like nails on a chalkboard. And it is so habitual that people don't even realize they have it until someone points it out. And it's an epidemic. When we do our assessments now, more and more people are coming in with this vocal fry. And just to share a story from last year, a CEO called. She had a rising star, very talented individual. And Lee, she said to me, when she hears her on the phone with clients, she cringes. Can you imagine?
Right. That could be a career killer.
Exactly. So they referred her to us. She had the whole package of the epidemics, the upspeak, the vocal fry, the filler words. And when we were done working with her, she had made significant improvement and everybody was thrilled. And I really am calling them an epidemic because it's growing with, I don't want to single out anyone in particular, but the younger population has the tendency more and more. The good news is many of them realize it and are coming to see us to reduce it or get rid of all those behaviors.
Now, you do a lot of coaching, obviously, and you do this training in person, and then I'm imagining over the phone as well, but mm-hmm. you also wrote a book. Can you talk about the book and how that can help people?
Sure, thank you. It's called Communicate Up the Corporate Ladder, How to Succeed in Business with Clarity and Confidence. And this is not one of those books where, oh, no, another business book. I don't have time to read. It's a quick read. You go to the chapter on filler words. You address it. The reason it has such a long title is when I was speaking with my editor on the first meeting, it was close to 2 hours, and we were brainstorming, and he kept saying, well, what is it you do? What is it you do? And I said, I'm the call that comes the day after a performance review. It comes from either management, where, again, they always say, I have this talented, bright individual. We cannot promote them because of their communication skills. Or I get it from the individual who says, I just had my performance review, and I won't be promoted until I work on my communication skills. So that's why the title is so long, but it really says exactly what it is we do. And what I really want people to know is that you can just use it as a reference. You know you have this issue. And we cover vocal power, the strategic pause, filler words. We get into networking. We get into interviews. It really is a great book on how to communicate up the corporate ladder.
Now, how do you get most of your clients? Are the referrals, or do you have kind of a groups that work with you and send their people to you? Once you get in a big corporation, do they say, okay, all our executives have to go through and work with Jane?
It's really a variety. We work So one, it's referrals. You know, we're 12 years in business now, so thankfully we definitely get referrals. We definitely get Google search inquiries. Thankfully, we have fabulous reviews on Yelp, Google, and on my website. So people are now saying, oh, I saw your reviews on, you know, Yelp or Google. So we get them from there. And, you know, again, you know, the corporations will hire us. And in addition, just to let you know, besides for all the individual and small group, I do a lot of training. I'm a member of National Speakers Association, and I myself am passionate about group training, group presentations, and I'll do that all over the country. I'll do that all over the world. And just to clarify about our location in New York and our training, we do also work with people all over the country. So Atlanta, we can work with you all over the world because of all the great platforms like Skype or even FaceTime. So we can reach people everywhere.
And if somebody wanted to have a more substantive conversation, what's the best way to learn more?
Definitely go to the website, CorporateSpeechSolutions.com. There are so many free resources and free information. They can easily call me or email me. I am very readily available. The email responses to my email is always, thank you for the quick reply. I really do like to be there to help everybody. So go to the website or, you know, simply call me or email me. I'm sure you'll probably provide it in the follow-up to your, or I could say it. You tell me if you want me.
Sure. Well, if they go to CorporateSpeechSolutions.com, they can get all that information as well as information about the book, right?
Yes. Yes, the book is available there. And it also is available on Amazon. So they can definitely go to Amazon, but we do have other products as well. The website's fabulous. I really encourage everyone. Again, there's free resources, 9 of them, and they're terrific resources. So help yourself and have fun.
Well, thank you, Jane, for sharing your story today.
Thank you. Thank you, Lee, for this great interview. I look forward to hearing from you.
All right. That was Jane Latz with Corporate Speech Solutions. This is Lee Cantor for Katie Galley. We will see you all next time on Thought Leader Radio.